In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today I want to talk about the Troparion for Lazarus Saturday and Palm Sunday. In confirming the common resurrection, O Christ God, thou didst raise up Lazarus from the dead before thy passion. Wherefore we also, like the children, bearing the symbols of victory, cry to thee, the vanquisher of death. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is a reference, obviously, to the raising of Lazarus and Palm Sunday, and the two are linked because the raising of Lazarus occurred shortly before Palm Sunday occurred, about a week before or so. There's some very interesting things in this troparion. In confirming the common resurrection, O Christ God, thou didst raise up Lazarus from the dead before thy passion. This is the scriptural reference for this is in St. John's Gospel. The entire chapter 11 is all about Lazarus. And one fascinating thing about this chapter is it's quoted in its entirety in Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. There's a place where it's very beautiful. It's really amazing. Has anyone read Crime and Punishment? And Rasnikov is just, because he's committed a double murder, he's full of remorse, but he's not really expressing that remorse in a constructive way. He's really going half crazy and insane because of his sin that he has not confessed and that he's hiding. And he has a friend, what was her name?
Sonia.
Who was a prostitute because she had been in penury because her father was a drunk and got run over by a carriage, I believe. And so she was, as Dostoevsky loves to have, he loves to have these heroes that are with flaws because that's the way we are. And she is talking to him at some point. I don't remember the whole details, but he's expressing that he doesn't believe in God. And Sonia says, "How can you?" And she quotes the entire chapter. She reads the entire chapter of the raising of Lazarus to him in its entirety, from the beginning to the end. And that is one of the most moving chapters of all of literature, in my opinion. It's well worth reading. Especially because it's in the context of someone who's having trouble believing. And it would be very difficult to believe that Lazarus would be raised from the dead if you were there, because he had been 4 days dead. He would be already decomposing. So in the scripture at the end of, actually the beginning of chapter 12, after the story of St. Lazarus, it says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." So, he came to Bethany, he had already raised Lazarus from the dead, but it was in the very near vicinity of that time, and that was just before his entry into Jerusalem. Now, why did the Lord raise Lazarus from the dead? In confirming the common resurrection, O Christ God, thou didst raise up Lazarus. The scriptures have other incidents of people being raised from the dead, but the services make the comment, "Who has ever known or heard of a man raised from the dead when his corpse already stank? Elijah and Elisha raised the dead, yet not from the tomb, or 4 days after dead." And that's from the Great Compline Canon for Lazarus Saturday. Or, "Thou hast given to all, O Master, a proof of thy transcendent Godhead, raising Lazarus from the dead on the fourth day." That's from the Matins Canon for Saturday of Lazarus. So it's a rather amazing thing to raise someone 4 days dead. There are occurrences in the scriptures of someone who had just died, and the Lord raised two people that had just died, right? The widow's son. And also the child of the ruler, whose name at this moment, Jairus. But this is 4 days dead. what is our attitude when we should sing, "In confirming thy common resurrection, O Christ God, that is raised up Lazarus"? Well, when we read the scriptures or when we pray the prayers of the church, they apply to us personally as well as collectively. They might be referring to some dogmatic truth. They might be referring to some event that occurred, some application of that event. But always there is some personal thread that we should be able to grab hold of. And the services actually do this for us, if we listen closely. In the Matins canon, "At thy divine word thou hast raised up Lazarus, O Christ. I pray thee, raise me also dead through my many sins." Now Lazarus was 4 days dead. It appeared that he was not going to be coming to life. Nobody believed he would come to life. The Jews were laughing, thinking that he would raise him from the dead. And 4 days, and all he needed to do was say, "Lazarus, come forth." Well, if we equate Lazarus with our souls, and with the fact that we are dead in our passions many times, and that there is a stink to us as well, then this applies to us personally. Another one. "O voice of God, O divine power and might, with that voice, O Savior, thou hast shattered the gates of hell and all devouring death. Deliver me from my passions, as thou hast once delivered thy friend Lazarus that was 4 days dead." A reason why we go over these things, these from sacred history, so often, where we so often talk about the resurrection of Christ, and here we're taking an opportunity to talk about the resurrection of one of our own, right? A man. Is it assists our belief. We should continually go over and over divine truths and meditate upon them. Let this services help us with this. If we're holy people, we could meditate for hours when we at home, but we're not. So the services contain this sort of cogitating on divine truths. And when we think of the resurrection of Lazarus, that should remind us that we will be resurrected. And I've spoken many, many times about the fact that we all believe in the resurrection, of course. But the resurrection for us is oftentimes a future event. Oh yes, just like Mary said, "I believe that he will be raised on there will be a resurrection in the last day." And the Lord was speaking of resurrection now. There's a resurrection in our souls that's occurring now. After all, it says the kingdom of heaven is within you. So when we hear about Lazarus being raised, we should apply this to our own souls. Not that we'll be raised later. That's too late. We're being raised now. We're being changed now. And I believe with all of my heart that the reason that we live mediocre lives, that we always have so much trouble with recurring sins and other problems and habits and everything else, is because we really haven't taken to heart the reality of what Christ's incarnation and subsequent resurrection and ascension to heaven is for us. So the services, when they speak about Lazarus being raised from the dead, immediately, in many of the hymns, are talking about us being raised. Not our bodies, but our souls deadened by sins and passions. I think there's no substitute, really, in our day for attending the services and listening carefully to the holy words as they're sung. Because it might be that one stikeron touches you in just a slight, tiny bit. 1 year. Well, but there's 100 of them. And they all have profound meanings. So we cannot have too much exposure to this. it's impossible to be exposed too often to it if we have the right attitude about it. One of the things that is so beautiful about the Saturday of Lazarus is that it is a presentment of Pascha. It is a prophecy of Pascha. I mean, here the other people have been raised from the dead, but now the Lord was raising someone who was really, really dead and wasn't coming back. Because everybody knew that he stank. Everybody knew that the corpse was decomposing. And only in a short while later, the Lord would raise himself from the dead. So, this should give us great hope. Not just that we'll be raised from the dead in our bodies, but that our sins in our hearts will be excised. That our passions will be eventually withered away. And that we will be pure and holy. I personally think, I know this to be a fact as a priest, it's much harder to believe that we will become purified and holy than it is to believe in the resurrection. We all believe in the resurrection. But we don't always believe in the application of the resurrection to our life. In fact, if I may be so bold, I would say that only those who are the saints really believe in the application of the resurrection to their life. The hymn goes on, "Wherefore we also like the children bearing the symbols of victory." Of course, what were they doing? They're waving palms. They were waving branches of trees. And of course, in Russia, they would wave pussy willows, right? Other places, any branch of any tree would really do. That was a custom at the Feast of Tabernacles. In Leviticus, it says, "And ye shall take with you on the first day, this is of the Feast of Tabernacles, the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of fig trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your 7 days." It was an 8-day feast, and it was a feast right around the time of the harvest. The scriptures say the 15th day of the 7th month. It was also called the Feast of Booths. People would literally go out of their houses, and they'd construct huts of palm trees, and they'd be in those huts of palm trees during the time of the feast. So the palms were a traditional greeting, a traditional symbol of joy and of God's grace descending upon the people. So here are the children, meaning the children of Israel. We also like the children. They were not only children, there were men and women. And they were waving the palms. This is a greeting for God. So, the Pharisees and the Sadducees saw them greeting him and also crying out, "Hosanna in the highest," which is also a greeting only for God, because Hosanna means save now. By that time, it had kind of, you know how words can kind of morph and kind of become a little different? Hosanna so much doesn't as much have the meaning of save now as it is more of just a ejaculation of praise for God. But it still has that core meaning of save now. Now, you're not going to say Hosanna to an earthly king. You're saying Hosanna to someone who can save you. So they were, the children of Israel were recognizing Jesus Christ as God, not only with the palms, but also by crying out Hosanna, which means save now. But the palms and the branches of trees, for us, have a deeper meaning that they didn't understand. It says, bearing the symbols of victory. Well, what do you think these palms and branches might represent that gives us victory? The cross. Absolutely. In Palm Sunday for Liti, the Vespers, it says, "Today the grace of the Holy Spirit has gathered us together, and we all take up the cross and say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." So, we are taking our palms in prefigurement of the cross. Of course, at the time they didn't understand that. And I find it interesting that Christ is referred to as the vanquisher of death. That's what he is. Raisa and Alessa, you might not be aware of this false doctrine that is so that permeates American culture in Protestant churches. They think of Christ more as someone who died for our sins, meaning that he was punished instead of us. That's a very poor way to describe his ministry. His ministry is as the one who could say, "Lazarus, come forth," and hell trembled and released its bonds, released him from its bonds. So he's the vanquisher of death. That's a better way to refer to Christ. He's the one who lived as we are to live. He made us capable of living because he did it. And he broke the bonds of death. Of course, our troparion for Pascha is exactly that, right? Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, vanquishing death. It's a much better way to think of Christ. Christ is always a victor, not a victim. He never was a victim, ever. Because a victim is someone who has something done to them that they don't want to have done, that they cannot prevent. Christ, of his own will, went to the cross. So he is a vanquisher of death. Hosanna, I said, is saved now. And it was this was also recited at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's in Psalm 118. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, Lord. And save now is Hosanna. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And that reference, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord, is Jesus Christ, who is coming in the name of his Father. And of course, this combination of crying out Hosanna and waving palms would have enraged the Jewish elite, because that was a definite indication that the people believed he was the Messiah. But notice what happened to these people. The very same people who waved the palms and who cried out Hosanna, only, what, 4 days later? 5 days later? On Sunday, he came into Jerusalem, and then on Thursday evening, they were crying out, "We have no king but Caesar, and his blood be on us and our children." And I think this shows for us that salvation is not won just by believing something. It's won by living according to it. If we want to call Hosanna to God, then let's live up to that calling. If we're calling him God, then that means we must do the things that he says.